The Dow closed down 80 points at 13,967. The NASDAQ was also down 18 points at 2729. The S&P was down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay. Agnes heard me yelling my fool head off and came in just to make sure that, you know, I hadn't burst a blood vessel in my eye. Sort of patted me on my pointy little head and said, "There, there, dear, there, there. I love you. You love our kids. I love our kids. George Bush can go to hell. There, there, dear, there, there." Thank you, Agnes. Thank you. Okay, so we'll go straight to the phones. Mike is calling from Woodstock, New York. I haven't heard from Mike in a while. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Recently discovered the joys of walking long distances and hitchhiking as my grease car had to go into the shop for an operation.
How is the grease car?
I think it's going to be okay. It had a very rare problem, which was a fuel pump. In a normal car, would be fine, but it happens to be a 1986 BMW diesel. So finding that part took a long time. The BMW dealer wanted $2,000 for the part. I paid $8,000 for the car. So I finally found a users group on Yahoo or whatever, and I found the part. So it's being put in. I might get it back tomorrow. In the meantime, I've been hitchhiking and walking long distances. It's been actually very interesting.
Any revelations? Samsara?
This is the way most people in the world get around, you know, is by foot or bum a ride somehow. And I think I was just feeling kind of a brotherhood with the people who don't have the money to have a car. I think that's kind of what America's going to look like in a few years, honestly. I don't think there's anything anybody can do anymore to stop the inevitable collapse of United States civilization. I think it's been predicted by some wise people over the years, including the Mayans, that around 2012, things were going to kind of fall apart. And a new age was going to begin, but there was going to be incredible destruction before that happened.
I fear you're right. And, you know, just in very simple terms, you said something that might slide by some people, but didn't me and most of our audience probably not. One's feet are still the means by which most people on this planet still get around. And I don't think we think about that. I live a mile from an old U.S. highway that's two lanes, and it's constant. Even here in rural West Virginia, Mike, it's and you can hear the trucks changing gears up the road at night. The automobile and fossil-fueled transportation is so ubiquitous in this country, we don't think about the fact that most people still get around on their feet.
That's right. And
And obviously you live to tell the tale.
I did. I enjoyed it. If I get my car back, it'll be nice. But if I don't, I'll just deal with it and get around the way I need to do.
Did you talk to folks while you were out on the road?
I did. I met some great people. One of the journeys was about 44 miles, and I was really on a long walking stretch, and this very old black guy picked me up. And he was real cool. He was a singer in a gospel choir. I play bass, actually, in a kind of more of a new age kind of a church, not the kind of Christian church you might be thinking of.
No, I understand.
but I play bass there, so we were just talking about playing music for spiritual purposes. And actually, that's what music was originally meant for. It was a, you know, in the Sufi tradition, they only worship to music and art. And this is something I think a lot of people have lost contact with, which is that music is spiritual. It is religion. Religion being the word meaning to become in contact with yourself and nothing else. And I think we as a people are so far removed from ourselves, from our inner spirit. And this is part of the problem and part of the reason why everyone's so lazy. Nobody wants to change anything. We're just totally disconnected. Well, everything. From the war, I just watched the war documentary and saw how involved Americans were in that. It was incredible.
From Victory Gardens to steel drives, aluminum drives, tin drives. My mother, bless her soul, had told me about the blackout drills that they had in the high school in 1943 in Anstead, West Virginia, and huge blackout curtains lest lest the Japanese or the Germans be able to navigate by landmark during the night. Every single human being in this country was in some way or another actively involved in advancing the cause. I think one of the reasons that we can't be called upon to do this now is that even the Bush administration itself knows that they're involved in a fraud. And if they were to ask people to come together with something like that, they know that the rubber mask would come off.
Yeah, well, apparently there's enough professional mercenaries in Iraq to just continue anyway. There's 180,000 mercenaries. They outnumber U.S. soldiers. And even if the war ends, do they come back? I mean, what happened? I guess the last thing was I caught a conversation about clicking on links.
Mm-hmm.
What website were you referring to?
Well, the network website, headonradionetwork.com.
Okay, because the website I'm looking at is the link from... Okay, I'm looking at headonradio.com.
Okay, you got to add network to it. That's my old website from even before we got the network started.
All right, I'm going to go check that out.
And the move on there. The move on video is quite good anyway. I mean, the one way or the other, but Mitch McConnell's got to go, and they make a strong case for that fact, and I agree with them. And
okay,
so
if
folks, you know, if they see the traffic coming from us, it'll mean something to them.
Yeah, I'm actually, I have a travel business that I've had for like 15 years, and I'm actually redesigning my whole business structure to actually rely on advertising rather than revenue from selling anything. And I think the more content that you add to your site, the more traffic you generate, and the more income you could generate for Head On Radio Network. And also, do you ask for donations anywhere on the site?
There's a PayPal button at the top of the site.
There is.
Where folks can contribute whatever they want, or they can sign up for subscriptions at the, I think, $10, $25, $50, and $100 a month levels.
Okay, I see that. That's good.
You're absolutely right, Mike, because one of the things we're going to be... there is a lot of trepidation among the hosts on the horn about this. But what you talk about adding content, we will eventually take this video.
Mm-hmm.
And I am filled with horror and self-loathing at the very prospect. But it's somewhere it has to go, and I think that'll help build our outreach as well.
That sounds really good. I hate to see this not survive. It's a great alternative. I listen to a lot of different progressive radio. But I always tune you guys in at certain times when I'm, especially when I'm up in the country.
Mm-hmm. We're not saying that we're going to turn out the lights or anything, but we're literally living month to month.
Sure.
And it's for somebody like me, it's a little bit spooky just because you don't know from one month to the next whether or not you'll keep going.
Do you have somebody who's handling your SEO, search engine optimization?
John Fox runs everything on the website, and he does some SEO, and has tried to maximize that as much as possible. But frankly, that's a technical level that is beyond my ken.
It's something that I've looked into quite a bit. But for example, when somebody types in progressive radio online,
mm-hmm.
It would be nice if you came up in the top 10, and
it would be very nice.
And at this point, you don't. So there's a variety of ways to do this. If you ever, maybe I should contact John Fox directly. I could guide him towards ways that could get more traffic to your site. You could put more advertising on your site, and generate more income based on your traffic levels. I have a site that gets about 40,000 unique visitors a month, and I plan to ramp that up to about 200,000 a month.
Wow.
And that's going to be through adding content. It's a travel site. It's an alternative travel site, but it's going to be really information-based.
Well, I know John has been up to his eyeballs lately, Mike, simply because we have been subjected to an absolutely stunning level of spam attacks on our blog. And, highly frustrating. He had to clean it all out and then had to...
Listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. Listening to the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Okay, I put on the new agey music because I needed to go to my happy place. I remember way back when I was a master's degree student in theater. And we had this relaxation exercises after our little, like, theater aerobics class. And our teacher would say something like, letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. Letting go now. Yeah, so apparently I got hold of the great folks at CityNet, and they had, you know, all the bells and whistles and alarms had gone off at their place because they had about 15 different DS1 lines just went. We were one of them. So that wasn't, you know, I don't think there was anything particularly evil. It was just one of the things that happens in the world of high tech. Hey, look, you know, we broadcast, we dance on the cutting edge of technology, and sometimes our little heels get slashed. And that's what happened just now. But that's okay. We'll be all right. Letting go now. Letting go now. Ah. Yeah, and I roll my head around, and my neck goes. Oh, brother. But everything's okay, and well, you know, like I said, well, we've got a little bit of show left, precisely 18 minutes of show left. If you want to chime in and share your thoughts, you're more than welcome. I see a phone ringing now. Well, not ringing, beeping, not bleep, not, no, it's blinking. That's what it's doing. It's blinking. Hey, who have I got?
You've got Richard again.
Oh, be joyful.
Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. You're a little hot.
Yeah, well, I went to the hot phone. I think that I've got some sort of a mismatch between me and you. I'll work on it with Peter.
Okay.
It's something strange. I think it's some sort of interaction between my DSL, actually, and your setup. But okay, I'm here. It's nice to have you back, and I'm really happy that Agnes is okay.
Believe me, we are too. Thank you very much.
I was very concerned about you guys because it sounded like Agent Fred had suddenly taken over, you know.
Well, you can't help but be a little bit paranoid, or at least I can't, especially with what was happening to Peter's show, because everything seemed to be so regular that things would happen to Peter's show that wouldn't happen to anybody else. So,
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. Now, as far as
that, you know, I usually listen on off White Rose.
Right.
And White Rose was down.
Well, you know, Ben's had some illness issues in his own family. His wife has been quite ill, and you know, it was just sort of a perfect storm, I guess, Richard.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to volunteer if something like this happens and I can help get the word out, I would like to.
Okay.
You know, like, for instance, to put a notice on your website.
Well, notices do go up on the website when things go down. The news ninjas are very, very good about putting those things up on our blog.
Oh, really? I didn't see them this time, but anyway, I'm just throwing my hat in the ring.
Sure, absolutely. It's a volunteer effort across the board.
Sure. So I, a few days later, I finally found out, you know, it wasn't Agent Fred. It wasn't Gonzo with his new job.
No. It was, well, I was gone for the 4 days out of five dealing with, you know, family stuff relating to my father's estate.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And then I got back home. Then Agnes had surgery, a trip to Morgantown. That's one of the reasons why when I came stumbling in from my doctor's appointment this afternoon, I thought, you know, I can't not go tonight. I gotta get behind the microphone. I gotta get a 5 day weekend because I'm losing my freaking mind.
Well, face it, you're a performer, Bob.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but okay, a lot of that.
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, being a musician, I have to be creative at something. I got an interesting story. I decided that I wanted to break into working in energy conservation or green energy or transportation in a green sort of way. So a job came up. I work as a technical writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very hip to railroad technology of all kinds. So that's... I actually, through a writing agency, got myself an interview with a major transit system here in the Bay Area. And I got all excited about that as an entry point into the entire industry, so that I would specialize as a railroad technical writer. Because I have, you know, one way or the other, I'm positive we're going to be on the rails somehow. And it's going to be forced on us. That is my...
Well, you know, the problem with the idea that it's going to be forced on us is that somewhere along the way, there's got to be a will to it. You know, I had my big railroad trip back in June.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it could be if only anybody in America gave a damn about it.
Well, there are people who give a damn.
Well, I know they do, but they're not the right people. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Well, a lot of them are, actually. You know, there's this organization called National Association of Railroad Passengers. They have a presence in Washington, D.C., a little bit of lobbying, just a tiny bit. They have people all over the country, and they've had an impact in certain places. I think they've had an impact in California. We have a certain amount of regional rail here, and the schedules are pretty good. I'm quite impressed. But the state has also put money behind it.
Right, and that's what I mean about there having to be a will behind it. You know, as and I think I remarked before, Richard, as I crossed the country, I saw all these abandoned railroad right-of-ways beside the line that we were on.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And yet we would have to pull over to a siding because apparently the nature of the agreement that Amtrak has is that they have right-of-way as long as they're on schedule. The minute they go so much as a second behind schedule, all bets are off.
Well, there's actually an old railroad saying about that, which goes, late trains become later.
Yes.
And it's true. And also, of course, there's the terrible problem that Amtrak is a tenant on all these freight railroads.
Right. They don't, well, the Northeast Corridor, they own their own rails.
That's right. Northeast Corridor, most of their own rails. I think between New York City and Stamford, Connecticut, I believe they're a tenant. But they're a tenant on a public agency.
Right. But you know, whether it's the Empire Builder or the Southwest Chief or the Sunset Limited or the Southern Crescent or the City of New Orleans or the Cardinal, that's all tenant rail. And the thing is, right, those are freight rail, and you're probably far more able to discuss it than I am, Richard. But freight rail is not the same as passenger rail.
Well, at one time it was. You know.
Well, I mean, it is by default now. But there are different engineering and design standards for them, aren't there?
Well, yes and no. You know, I mean, we've got Spanish trains running in the Pacific Northwest right now, run by Amtrak. They're a design that, excuse me, that dates from approximately 1945. The trains are called TALGO, which is an acronym. And these trains are designed to run at fairly decent speed on pretty mediocre track. So there are some engineering concepts that can produce a balance between the two. And actually, when I was a kid, there were three first class passenger trains on the lines right near you that ran at least between Washington D.C. and Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of spurs off to the side. So cars came up from Newport News and joined the main stem at Charlottesville, Virginia. And then they split as they went west. So let me think. I think they split at Ashland, Kentucky. So one section went to, oh boy, I'm forgetting. getting. What's the place with all the racehorses? Louisville.
Louisville, yeah, sure.
Okay, one section went to Louisville, one section went to Chicago, one section went to Detroit. This is a trains that got split up and combined quite a bit during their route. And they pulled it off every day, you know.
Yeah. And mostly on time. And no, it's all doable. And, you know, I looked at those great big honking diesel engines that were pulling the Amtrak train that I was on, and, you know, that cloying, overpowering scent of diesel fuel that you breathe when you're there in the station. And all I could think was, wow, what if these things were running on French fry oil?
Well, you see, my problem with that, and now I happen to be just a few miles away from a filling station that does that. You know, that fills up diesel cars with biodiesel, and the problem there is that at some point you run out of the biodiesel. You know, Amtrak, believe it or not, has been somewhat pollution-minded. The railroad locomotive manufacturers have paid some attention to this, but diesel railroads burn a really foul grade of fuel oil.
Oh yeah, it's like the vile stuff that gets burned in vehicles that are supposedly limited to mining operations here in West Virginia.
Yeah, that might be true.
It's literally the high sulfur stuff.
Yeah, they burn what's called, I think it's called number 6 bunker oil. It's like the sludge that's left over in the hold, you know,
yeah,
in the bottom of the tanker, and they have to heat it in order to get it into the fuel injector nozzles, so that it'll flow. There's nothing new about this. I suspect it's the most polluting stuff in the world.
No, well, you know, I mean, when we pulled into the station and I got off the car and started walking toward, it was overpowering. I mean, I was nauseated by the time I got in.
Oh yeah, and it's what they're doing is there's two engines in that locomotive, two diesel engines. One is pulling the train. The other one is providing what is called hotel power, meaning the lights, water, you know, hot water, and heat and air conditioning. So all of that stuff is now electric. It used to be provided in different ways.
Right.
But you know, I think that we're down to the point where there are only four through railroads running east and west in this whole country.
CSX, Burlington Northern.
Right.
Union Pacific.
Correct.
And Southern? Or was Southern absorbed into CSX?
No, Southern was absorbed into...
Norfolk Southern.
Yeah, right. That's it. Now, we got Canadian National going north-south on the old Illinois Central through Illinois, down to New Orleans, and Kansas City Southern, which is smaller, and, you know, a few smaller things. But this is really scary. Union Pacific is very bushy in its campaign funding.
Well, you know, Mike from Woodstock, what he said a few minutes, a little over an hour ago now, or less, a little less than an hour ago, is that, you know, he sees grim, kind of a grim future.
For what?
Well, for transportation and the American transportation lifestyle.
Well,
and
I think it's where I'm coming from is I think it's a really exciting opportunity.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, I wrote this long letter to my congressman about it, and you know, I'm behind rail. I believe in Amtrak. You know, I'd like to. My goodness, can you just looking at the places that Amtrak doesn't go, Richard?
Oh yeah, so it's awesome, isn't it?
I mean, can you imagine that Amtrak does not go through Nashville, Tennessee?
I know that. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
You know, the old L&N passenger service, the Louisville and Nashville, don't exist.
But there's a track there?
I think that something probably owns what was the L&N, because, yeah, there's the...
Yeah, CSX. Amtrak originally did have a train that went from Chicago to Miami, and for some reason they pulled it, and I'm assuming they didn't have enough business. But there's politics involved too, and this gets awfully messy.
Well, and there's also, but there's also the there's an, the two or three generations of Americans, Richard, for whom rail travel isn't even a thought,
yeah.
even in places where the train goes.
Yeah, that's true. It isn't a thought until suddenly there's a snowstorm, there's a blizzard, and the train is the only thing moving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Richard, I've got to roll along because we're at the end of the show, unfortunately. I'm sorry about all the technical glitches, but this one at least wasn't demonic.
Okay. Good to chat with you, Bob.
Good to talk to you, Richard. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Right.
Bye now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with me being late. Thanks for putting up with the technical glitch there in the middle of this hour. Bunch of stories I still didn't get to, but you know, dadgummit, that's what tomorrow's for. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps each day in its petty pace. Yada 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 yada. Thanks, Bill Shakespeare. And in case you're wondering, I'm still disgusted when I mean, just the very thought of that little bastard vetoing the S-chip bill. I mean, there was a time in stop it. The show's over. Again, thanks for joining in. Thanks for participating. Listen, you know, you guys that listen on podcasts or listen to the archives or whatever, love to hear from you. Just because you can't call the show when it's live doesn't mean you can't email. Love to hear from you. And a reminder, we're at about $250. We're 1/8 of the way to where we need to be by the end of October. If you're able, please don't make me sweat this. I'd really appreciate that. And me, the rest of the network, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket, you know, if you can help, I appreciate it. And those of you who already have, you know how much we love you. Thanks, many thanks to John Fox, to Ben Birch, and to Peter Godbold, our IT consultant. And, of course, always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is the Quality News Network. Panic has set in Myanmar, where military vehicles are patrolling the streets with loudspeakers blaring, quote, "We have photographs, we are going to make arrests," end quote. At 3 a.m., troops stormed houses dragging men and women from their beds. Fleeing monks are being denied bus rides. Drivers fear they'll be barred from buying diesel. A UN envoy is drafting a report.
The leader of the Liberty City 7, on trial in Miami for allegedly scheming to topple the U.S. government, was seen on video today saying to an FBI informant that he is planning, quote, to build an Islamic army for Islamic Jihad, end quote. The group is accused of plotting to blow up the Sears Tower and bomb five FBI offices. The Polish ambassador to Iraq was wounded in an assassination attempt in Baghdad today. A roadside bomb targeting his convoy destroyed three cars, killed one of the ambassador's bodyguards and a civilian bystander. 14 people were wounded. Congress may pass legislation to close a loophole which allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. One contractor, Blackwater, was questioned this week because of a controversial street battle that broke out while protecting a U.S. State Department convoy last week. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She'll go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly neighboring Arab countries. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. He got into a shouting match with troops and insisted, quote, "You don't have the power to stop me," end quote. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel oil or economic aid. The AP reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today, as expected, vetoed the bill which would provide health insurance to more than 10 million children, up from the current 6.6 million. He said it moves the country's health care system, quote, in the wrong direction, end quote. More negotiations between Congress and the White House are expected. Congress may pass legislation that closes a loophole which allows private security contractors in Iraq, such as Blackwater, to be immune to criminal prosecution. The private security forces protect State Department personnel in Iraq. The Polish ambassador to Iraq was wounded in an attack in central Baghdad today. His convoy was targeted by several bombs in what is being called an assassination attempt. Poland has about 1,000 troops in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She will go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly other neighboring Arab countries. Former President Jimmy Carter was blocked from visiting a Darfur refugee camp by Sudanese forces. He got into a shouting match with them. According to a joint six-nation statement, by the end of this year, North Korea has agreed to a deal to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel, oil, or economic aid. In Myanmar, a UN worker and three of her family members were taken in an early dawn government raid. It is part of the security crackdown against demonstrators. The Associated Press reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise so far. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators will try to determine how five workers were killed in a Georgetown, Colorado hydroelectric plant accident yesterday. They initially survived the chemical fire but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet below ground. Virginia Republican Senator John Warner is said to be doing well after a non-surgical procedure to regulate his heartbeat. The 80-year-old lawmaker will remain in the hospital overnight. He is expected to resume his Senate work next week. And in La Jolla, California, a landslide this morning has buckled streets and sent at least one home down a hillside. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Tired of all the griping? Got to get away from the propaganda of the left and the right? Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific right here on the Quality News Network for America Back on Track with me, your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't wallow in the dialectic between the donkeys and the elephants. America Back on Track rises above the fray, representing the people's right, the people's need to know. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network puts the news in context, delivers scintillating interviews and commentary, all part of a conversation with America. America Back on Track is for information-hungry Americans who know how vital it is to the health of the country that the citizens know the facts. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 AM in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Government data shows that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. There was also an increase in customer complaints about the airlines. Last week, President Bush said he would address the problem with the air carriers. A judge in Pennsylvania has ruled that about 125,000 Walmart workers who already won a $78.5 million class action suit award will get another $62 million in damages. That amount equals to about $500 per employee for working off of the clock. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service announced that there have been 77 arrests recently as part of an international crackdown on email scams involving phony lottery wins or inheritances. Microsoft has introduced three new models of its digital media player Zune, which is a rival to the Apple iPod. 100 million iPods have been sold since 2001. Microsoft has sold just over 1 million Zune models since it was introduced last year. Gold is trading at $735.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $79.94 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And taking a look at Wall Street near today's close, the Dow Jones is down 80 points at 13,967. The NASDAQ down 18 points and the S&P 500 down 7. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
And now from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today is Debate Wednesday. I'm bringing on my favorite Republican, and hopefully yours too, Mike Lane, the Republican strategist who has his own company that tries to tell Republicans what to do. I'll be bringing him on in the latter half of the hour and give y'all a chance to take him on. I know many of the times I have him on my television show on Sundays, which is replayed here on Mondays. So a lot of y'all have heard him but not had a chance to challenge him, and I want to encourage you to do so. There are a lot of things to challenge him on. He is prepared. We'll see how good a job he does. But definitely feel free to bring on the SCHIP program, State Children's Health Insurance Program, that we've talked about so much here, or Clarence Thomas, for that matter. He's ready for that. He's always ready to take on the war in Iraq. And one of the things I want to challenge him on that score is whether or not there really is a military solution to Iraq at all, because all the experts say the only thing is a political solution. Two more topics that I will address with him, and I encourage you to do so as well. One is, of course, Blackwater, the military contractor that, like all military contractors, seems to be beyond U.S. and Iraqi law, paid billions of dollars in your taxpayer money, and doing so without virtually any oversight. We'll talk about Blackwater. The other thing I want to talk about is something that, well, you should know about if you don't, if you haven't been reading about it, and that's the Inside Scoop on Pakistan. I think there's a lot going on there. Some is horrific. Some is actually promising. And we need to be watching Pakistan, because now that the Taliban is mostly out of Afghanistan, they are setting up a new territory in a country that's far more dangerous than Afghanistan, and certainly far more dangerous than Iraq, which was never that much of a danger at all. A country that already has nuclear weapons and is a dictatorship, but one that hopefully is teetering on the verge of democracy. So I want to talk at length about Pakistan. All right, so let me go through. We'll talk about this half hour, all the different things before Mike gets on, and then when he comes on, we can challenge him with it. Let's start, though, with the situation in Pakistan, because I think that totally apart from debating Republicans, this is something all Americans need to be concerned about. When you look at the world's nuclear powers, You have, of course, three democracies. The United of the five Security Council members, permanent members that have nuclear weapons. We'll start with them. Three are democracies. That would be England, France, the United States. Two are definite dictatorships: Russia and China. But they're relatively stable dictatorships. Russia, of course, is a interesting example because it was a democracy, kind of, sort of. When the Soviet Union failed, Boris Yeltsin brought that country very close to democracy. They did have fair elections. Now I'm afraid it's slipping back toward dictatorship. And, of course, I've been very careful to be watchful of this most powerful country, Russia. And we should be, because I think Putin is taking its country back toward dictatorship. So I don't know that I'll call Russia a dictatorship yet. Let's just say it's somewhere in between dictatorship and democracy. The one thing I think it is, though, is stable. Although Russia may well pose a danger to its own citizens and may eventually pose a danger to the world, right now I don't see it as a major threat. China, of course, is also a stable dictatorship, certainly poses a danger to its own people. We know about Tiananmen Square. Those rulers are still in power. But I think it's concentrated mostly on beating us economically, which they're doing a good job of doing, but not so much on military might. So then we look at the nuclear powers that are not part of the Big Five, and there are four. Three of them are stable democracies. Those three are India, Israel, and South Africa. South Africa, of course, used to be an apartheid government, but now is a stable democracy. Israel is a stable democracy, and India is a stable democracy. For all its poverty, you have to give India credit for being a stable democracy for some 60 years. So there's really only one country left with nuclear power that's unstable, and it is Pakistan. And due to our war in Afghanistan, which I'm not knocking, I supported that war, but due to our war in Afghanistan, we chased al-Qaeda, which was controlling the Afghani government, to Pakistan. And then we left the chase. We decided to focus on a far lesser threat in Iraq. We put 16 times the troops in Afghanistan in Iraq. We didn't follow them into Pakistan. And so al-Qaeda is growing in power in Pakistan. We didn't chase them in. Pakistan, Musharraf, the dictator of Pakistan, who did a coup d'etat some years back. You may recall that Musharraf was the leader that George W. Bush, as a candidate, didn't know his name when they asked him who the leader of Pakistan was. He failed that test. And he clearly doesn't know a lot about Pakistan. Not many Americans do, but it's very important to know about it. And not just because it is the country where almost certainly Osama bin Laden and his ilk have taken up residence. But Pakistan is arguably the greatest hope and the biggest danger at the same time to the United States and to world peace. One thing we do know is that after we failed at Tora Bora, and by the way, every indication is we could have gotten Osama bin Laden at Tora Bora if we had just expended a few more troops there. Bush didn't want to do it, despite the fact that he was practically begged to do it. So we let Osama bin Laden go into Pakistan, and he's been building up forces there. We really haven't been fighting him hard. Musharraf, in fact, declared a truce with the militants there, the terrorists there. And I think that shows the danger of ever declaring a truce with people who are out to destroy you. We know that the people in Pakistan, the